You're listening to Fritz and Friends on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back, everyone. This is Cheryl Fritz along with Mark Price producing on Fritz and Friends, 1320 WILS, and streaming live, 1320WILS.com. This next story intrigued me. I actually found this from a friend who posted a link to the website, and I got so intrigued I ended up calling, and I'm going out to Bill Marion, who is chairman of the board of the Neon Boneyard. Good evening, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Very good. I'm just going to read for a minute from something that came from this link. It said, there's something surreal about seeing the skeleton of dearly loved signs from Las Vegas's past as they sit slowly decaying in the desert sun. You'll discover this at the Neon Boneyard. I mean, I'm getting a visual already. Tell me about the Neon Boneyard and how it came to be.
Well, the Neon Boneyard is actually part of what's known as the Neon Museum. And it's, you know, basically it was a boneyard. It was the graveyard where old neon signs went to die. And a group of people about 20-some years ago decided, you know, these are some really interesting signs. They tell the story of the history of the evolution of neon as art, but they also tell the story and the history of Las Vegas as a burgeoning city. And so they worked to preserve these, and they used the site where they were originally, you know, put to rest. And now we've rehabilitated a number of them, restored some of them, and in reality, it's a photographer's playground.
Well, just the pictures that I've seen on the link that I got, it's astounding. It's absolutely astounding. You're using these now. It's a museum of sorts, but you're reusing some of these signs and kind of redoing them as art installations. How is that happening?
Well, first of all, imagine that the signs, they really are art. Las Vegas is the city of neon. I mean, it's really where neon exploded. And it's in part because, you know, you've got these hotels and resorts out in the middle of the desert on a road from L.A. in the middle of nowhere. How do you attract people to come in? Well, signage. And so you build a neon sign to lure somebody in. Well, then the next property says, hey, that's working. I need to do a sign even more elaborate than that. So then you get this explosion of designers coming in and designing more and more elaborate artwork for these buildings. And so it is an art form acting as a sign.
What happened to neon in Las Vegas? Is there still a lot of neon, or have other light, you know, LED lights and so forth, have they taken over?
You know, there's a lot of LED, but the LED is trying to mimic neon. So you have neon, and then you have the next generation of the use of light. I don't know if anything will ever surpass neon itself, just because there's this incredible evanescent glow that comes from it. And it just sort of captures you and warms you when you see neon signage. So that's what a lot of these signs that we've restored do. And all of these signs tell great stories. I'll give you an example. The Silver Slipper was a small property across from the Desert Inn. I think people know the story of Howard Hughes buying the Desert Inn, living up in the penthouse. But this rotating, huge, incandescent Silver Slipper would glow into his apartment at night. So he had his aides call over to see if they'd turn off the sign. Well, of course they're not going to turn off the sign. So Howard Hughes bought the property and then turned the light off.
Doesn't everybody?
Well, you know, if you're Howard Hughes, I guess you can do that kind of thing.
I guess he can. Do you have a favorite sign there, Bill? I mean, is it like your children, or do you walk through or see some and you just, it takes you back, or it brings back a memory?
There are so many great signs out there, but if you had to say which one is my favorite or which one may be the most significant, there's a sign from the old Moulin Rouge Hotel. The Moulin Rouge was built in 1955. It was the first integrated casino in Las Vegas. In that time, 1955, if you were a black entertainer and you were performing on the Strip, Sammy Davis Jr., Lionel Hampton, Lena Horne, you couldn't stay or eat at the property that you were performing in. So they used to have to go over to boarding houses in the West Side. So this casino was built. It was the first integrated casino, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, when the lounge shows would shut down on the Strip, everybody would head over to the Moulin Rouge to finish the night. It didn't operate very long, but then in 1960, there was going to be a civil rights demonstration in Las Vegas, protesting, you know, the lack of integration. The governor convened a group of businessmen, casino owners, and the NAACP. Mm-hmm. They met, and on that day in 1960, Las Vegas officially became desegregated. It was a meeting held at the Moulin Rouge, and it's called the Moulin Rouge Accord.
Wow.
So, and then the sign, it's huge, it's beautiful, and it was designed by a woman named Betty Willis, who was also the woman who designed the famous Welcome to Las Vegas sign.
Oh my gosh, there's a piece of trivia for you.
Yeah, so I mean, the Boneyard is just filled with stories like that.
How many signs do we have a count of how many signs are there?
There was about 450 pieces representing about 150 individual signs.
And where are you? Where is this piece of property located?
We're on Las Vegas Boulevard, which is sort of an extension of the Strip, just a couple of blocks away from Fremont Street, which is downtown Las Vegas. So it's really in the heart of the city.
I love, and if I were to lucky enough to be on a plane tomorrow, that won't happen, but hopefully soon it will. and I come to visit, what do I see as I arrive? And I love in some of your information, it said, bring a bottle of water, it's the desert, and it's dusty.
it's dusty, and I should tell you, we're in the middle of a major project. We have acquired a building that actually had to be cut into 8 pieces and moved onto the site. It's the historic La Concha Motel lobby, which, you know, again, history. It was designed by Paul Revere Williams, who was the first black architect admitted into the American Institute of Architects. And so that's been put up. We are now building an addition onto it, so we'll have a full visitor center and gathering space so that we'll be able to accommodate anybody who wants to come in. Right now, if you want to come in, we're limited. We do 2 tours a day of about 30 people per tour, and we can't keep up with the demand for the property as it sits.
Well, I can imagine it. It also says in the information that I had that you do need to make a reservation. You don't just come up and say, I want to go through. You're part of a group who joins.
You do have to make a reservation, and you do have to be part of a tour group simply because we can't open up to the general public until we're finished with all of the construction. The other interesting thing is that, again, it's a photographer's paradise. The Boneyard gets used extensively for photo shoots from, like, Harper's Bazaar. Christian Adagio did his fall line there last year. The Miss America Beauty Pageant uses it. It's been featured in television shows as well as music videos. We just did a major commercial shoot for Audi, for example. So, you know, we probably do 15 to 20 national and international photo shoots a year there.
Do you have the Stardust sign?
We have the Stardust actually had 3 different signs. We have the latest version.
Wow.
And it's, you know, when I mentioned that we have 150 signs, but there's 450 pieces, the Stardust sign is absolutely huge and beautiful. And it's in cabinets. I think there's probably like 7 pieces total, but the one piece of it stretches about 40 feet in the air.
Unbelievable. When did you get involved, Bill?
Well, I've been involved with the museum for probably 10 years, and then I was asked to go on the board. I helped raise money for them. Then I was asked to go on the board about 4 years ago, and then I was named chairman 2 years ago.
I have to tell you, there's something very Las Vegas just about introducing you as chairman of the board. You know that, right?
Oh, well, hey, listen, you know, everybody's the chairman of the board, but there still was only one chairman of the board.
Okay, an appropriate nod to that chairman of the board, right?
Yeah.
Where could I'm sure we're intriguing a few people who want to take a look at some of this. Where could people hop online to take a look at this and plan it into their next visit?
You know, I think if you just go on to neonmuseum.org.
Okay. That's easy enough.
And that'll take you to it. And I think that you can sign up for the tour there, or you can just call in from that phone number. We've received a lot of attention lately. In fact, we were just on the ABC News website 2 days ago. The Associated Press did a story on us that ran nationwide about a week and a half ago. We did a BBC interview 2 weeks ago. I mean, it's amazing how much attention this gets from the same kind of reaction that you had, that it just sounds intriguing. And then once you see it, you realize it truly is intriguing.
Well, and I think there's a piece of the nostalgia that goes along with all of it. You know, pieces of things we saw over the years, you know, growing up or visits. And it's just somehow it's comforting to know that somebody is taking those pieces and taking care of them.
Well, you know, in Las Vegas, unlike, you know, in Michigan, there's a lot of history in Michigan. And so there's a lot of old buildings that have probably been preserved over the years. In Las Vegas, we have a tendency to blow things up and reinvent the city. So, you know, these are some of the only remnants left of some truly historic buildings. I mean, the Moulin Rouge, that sign is all that's left because the Moulin Rouge burned to the ground. The amazing thing is that there were two fires there, one about 4 years ago. The only thing that remained standing was the sign and the front facade.
Wow.
About a year ago, they moved the sign, and the sign's huge. The sign is like 100 feet long and 30 feet tall, and it's in this wonderful script lettering. They moved it over to the boneyard just to store it while they were doing some demolition work. The thing caught on fire again. The whole rest of it burned down. If that sign had not been moved when it was, it would have burned along with it.
Wow.
So, you know, now it's the only thing left of that incredibly historic building.
Well, I'm telling you, I encourage people to hop online and take a look at the Neon Boneyard and fit it into your next visit to Las Vegas or make it the destination, because I'm intrigued. I know it's going to be on my next trip. Bill, it's been such a joy talking with you.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. And you know what? You give me a call when you're coming out. I'll give you a personal tour.
Oh, I'm all over that. Thank you, Bill.
All right.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Been talking with Bill Marion, who's the chairman of the board of the Neon Boneyard in Las Vegas. We'll be back after these messages.